This is the Gospel Hour, making known to this nation the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for today's message that was preached and recorded by the founder of the Gospel Hour, Evangelist Dr. Oliver B. Green.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new week of broadcast on the Gospel Hour. I'm David Green, director of the Gospel Hour, inviting you to stay tuned with us not only today, but every day this week as we continue our tradition of bringing you beautiful Christian music and inspiring preaching and teaching from the Word of God as preached by my late father, Dr. Oliver B. Green. Now today and all of this week, we continue with our verse-by-verse study of the book of Acts. And just before that, we're going to hear Still Sweeter Every Day, and then the message.
My heart is sometimes heavy, but He comes with sweet relief. He folds me to His bosom when I drop with blighting grief. I love the Christ who all my burdens in His body bore. Each day He grows still sweeter than He was the day before. The half cannot be fancied, this sight, the golden shore. Oh, there He'll be still sweeter than He ever was before.
And now, here with our message, Oliver B. Green.
Our Father, direct us as we open Thy Word to study today. Speak to my heart and speak through these lips of clay the words that Thou wouldst have spoken today. God forbid that I say one word that I should not say, and God forbid that I leave unsaid one word that ought to be said. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm reading in Acts 13. I'm going to read five verses. Number one is verse 42. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now the words referred to here are the words recorded in the preceding verses, especially verse 39. And by Him all that believe are justified from all things from which He could not be justified by the law of Moses. In Romans 3:20, by the deeds of the law there should be no flesh justified. Now the Gentiles asked that these words be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now that's verse 42. Verse 44, and the next Sabbath day came almost, think of that now, the whole city to hear a message on what, that's not in there. Now, what I was about to say, to hear a message on what Baptists believe, what Methodists believe, what Presbyterians believe, what Pentecostals believe, what Lutherans believe, what Episcopalians believe, what Catholics believe, what Jehovah's Witnesses believe, what Spirit, no. The whole city came together to hear what? The Word of God, the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ, the living message, the Word of God, that's what they came to hear. And that's what people need to hear today. We preachers need to preach the Word of God. Now, the third verse, now that's verse 44, now the next one, verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the Word of God should first have been spoken to you. Now, he was speaking to his own people. And by the way, I could spend an entire broadcast right here on this verse, and I may at a future date. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the Word of God should first have been spoken to you, to the Jews, to his own people. But seeing ye put it forth from you, or put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. we turn to the Gentiles. Verse 48 now. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. Now verse 49. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. The word of the Lord. Five times we read of the word. Verse 42, 44, 46, 48, and 49. The word of God is the message that saves. The word of God is the message that sets men free. The word of God is the only message that will make a Christian out of a sinner. Now, I want you to look at Acts 4:4. Acts 4:4. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. That's Acts 4:4. And the number of men were about 5,000. Now, beloved, I'm not sarcastic when I make this statement. The disciples did not give a book report that day. They did not give a message on current events. They did not preach on what Baptists believe. I'm a Baptist, and I know what Baptists believe, and I don't believe what some Baptists believe. I believe pure Baptist doctrine, old-fashioned Baptist doctrine, but I don't believe everything that all Baptists believe. The disciples did not preach, beloved friends, on storehouse tithing or water baptism by immersion or baptism by sprinkling, pouring, or dipping. They preached the Word of God, and the Word of the living God is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ according to the Scriptures. Now, I believe in preaching on tithing. I preach on tithing. I believe in preaching baptism. I preach baptism. But baptism and tithing is to be preached to people who are born again, not sinners. You need not teach a sinner to tithe. You need not tell a sinner to be baptized. Baptism don't help a sinner, and tithing doesn't help a sinner, and what Baptists believe doesn't help a sinner. The only thing that will help a sinner is the Word of God, the living Word, the incorruptible seed, the light, and the bread, and the water, and the milk, and the Word of God that brings salvation. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to all that believe. To the Jew first, yes, to the Greek also. The Jew had the message first, and Paul said it was necessary that he have the message first, and he had the message first, but he turned it down. Now the Gentiles and all and sundry are hearing the message of the Word of God. And the Word is the power of God to all, Jew, Gentile, rich, poor, bond or free, makes no difference, educated or uneducated. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to all that believe. Therefore, the 5,000 that were saved immediately after Pentecost were saved through the preaching of the Word of God. Now, in the second place, I want you to look at Acts 8 and verse 14. Acts 8 and verse 14. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the Word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. Now, when they went down to Samaria, they preached unto them the Word of God. The Word of God brought a great revival. Philip was preaching, and a great revival broke out. And he was not preaching on what Baptists believe, what Methodists believe, what Presbyterians believe, what Pentecostals believe. He was preaching the Word of God. We need to preach the Word. We need to open the book and read the Word line upon line, verse after verse, chapter after chapter. We need to read the Word of God and preach the Word of God in all of its fullness and all of its power, and not preach what one denomination believes or another denomination believes. We need to preach the Word of God. And when we preach the Word, revival will break out. I don't care where it is or who it is. When the Word of God is preached, the Word will not return void. The Word is a lamp, a light. The Word is the incorruptible seed. The Word is the power, the dynamite of God unto salvation. So, 5,000 were saved after Pentecost through the preaching of the Word. Samaria was revived, and many were saved through the preaching of the Word. Now, Philip was called by the Lord God to lead that revival in Samaria, and he joined himself to a chariot. And this man was reading the scroll Isaiah, and Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And you can rest assured, when I preach Jesus, when you preach Jesus, when your preacher preaches Jesus, we're preaching the Word of God, because Jesus is the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, what was the eunuch reading, the Ethiopian eunuch? What was he reading? He was reading Isaiah 53, where Jesus, as a lamb before his shearer's dumb, he opened not his mouth, he was wounded, he was bruised, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, with his stripes were healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, but God laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. And Philip began, he opened his mouth, and in Isaiah 53, he preached to the eunuch Jesus, and the eunuch was saved, and when they reached the body of water, he was baptized. Well, you say, preacher, I thought you said a moment ago that the disciples didn't preach baptism. I didn't say any such thing. I made no such statement. I said baptism should be preached to born-again, blood-washed people. Baptism preached to a sinner is no good. Get him baptized, he's still a sinner, in spite of all that some of you have heard. Water never has washed away a sin, and water never will wash away a sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from A-double-L, all sins. And that's in 1 John 1:7. And when the blood's applied, all sins are washed away. And when all sins are washed away in the blood, you're ready for baptism. Baptism is for people whose sins are already washed away. Not to be washed away, but because they are washed away. I didn't say the apostles didn't preach baptism, but I tell you what may surprise you. The apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 1:17 says, God sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Now, I want you to preach me one on that. Invite your water salvation people to preach a sermon. Invite the water salvation people to write a book on that statement. Paul said, the minister to the Gentiles, the man that God called and ordained and sent to the as a minister to the Gentiles, he said, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ, the cross, that's it. Paul said, God forbid that I glory, save in the cross. He said, God sent me not to baptize, but to preach the cross. And it was Paul who said to these same people, I preached unto you what I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, buried according to the Scriptures, rose again according to the Scriptures, praise God, and was seen. And he said, I saw him as one born out of season. So the Word of God brought 5,000 to salvation just after Pentecost. The Word of God created and caused a great revival in Samaria. And the Word of God preaching Jesus from Isaiah 53 brought salvation to this precious eunuch. Now in Acts 16, we have another tremendous testimony concerning the Word of God. We find that Paul and Silas went into Europe, and they were in Philippi. And Paul and Silas taught a Bible class, and Lydia was saved. Now that's in Acts 16, 14 and 15. Then we read in Acts 16, 16 and following that a poor, demented woman was saved after listening to Paul and Silas for many days. And then they were put in jail, and at midnight they prayed and sang and praised God. And the jail was shaken, and the doors opened, and the bands were loosed, and the prisoners were released. They were set free, and all the doors were open, all the chain, and the Philippian jailer was about to cut his head off. And Paul said to thyself, no harm, we're all here. Well, every one of us, we're all here. And so he called for a light, and he sprang, and he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? S-A-V-E-D. He didn't say, what must I do to become a Baptist? Oh, yes, I'm a Baptist and intend to stay one. I don't intend to change my church membership because I'm going to be very honest, very frank, and very dogmatic. I haven't seen anything better. Now, some Baptists are not what they ought to be. Some Baptists are very, very worldly and live ungodly lives. But, Mister and Sister, there are some God-fearing, dedicated, separated, Spirit-filled Baptists in this country. There's some Methodists, too, that are Spirit-filled. And there are some Presbyterians, and I could go on. So I say, I'm a Baptist. I'm an old-fashioned Baptist. I believe in pure, pure Baptist doctrine. I don't believe in liberal, streamlined Baptist doctrine. I believe the old, old Baptist doctrine that the Baptist church was started in and through and by. That's what I believe. And I haven't found anything better. I haven't. If I do, I'll join it. I promise you, I'll join it immediately. But this doesn't say. The jailer said, sirs, what must I do to become a Baptist? What must I do to become a Methodist? What must I do to become a Pentecostal? What must I do to become a Lutheran? No, doesn't say that. What must I do to be S-A-V-E-D, saved? And so Paul and Silas said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Now look what happened. And they spake unto him the W-O-R-D of the Lord, not the word of the denomination. They didn't read from the catechism, my friend. They didn't read from the book of doctrine. They didn't read from the papers received from headquarters. They read the word of God. They spake unto him. They taught him the word of God. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now look at this. Look at it now. 5,000 just after Pentecost. 5,000 through the word. Then a great revival in Samaria. And then one man, the Ethiopian eunuch. And now an ungodly reprobate, a terrible, terrible sinner, a jailer, finds the Lord. How? They spake unto him the word of the Lord. They spake unto him the word of the Lord. Now that's the way he was saved. And if you're ever saved, you'll be saved through the word of God. Now we move on. In Acts 18 and verse 11, we find these words. And he continued there a year. Now that's 12 months. Paul in Corinth. And the Corinthian church was born. And he continued there a year, 12 and 6 months, a year and a half, a year and 6 months, teaching. What did he teach? What Baptists believe? No. What Methodists? No. What Pentecostals believe? No. What Luther? No. What Episcopal? No. He preached the word. And he continued 18 months teaching the word of God among them. Now, he didn't put the Pauline slant on it. He didn't say, this is the way I see it. He didn't say, this is what the fathers taught. You know, when Paul was saved, the Bible says he conferred not with flesh and blood. And some preachers would be a lot better off if they'd stop conferring with flesh and blood and talk to God more and look in the book more and stop listening to flesh and blood at headquarters and in the universities and the seminaries telling them what to preach and how to preach and the doctrine to preach. And ever so often, bringing the church up to date and bringing the doctrine up to date. You don't need to bring the church up to date. Church's been up to date ever since it was born. The Word of God's been up to date ever since it was spoken and it was in the beginning. You don't need to bring anything up to date that God has anything to do with. God is up to date. Yes, sir. Just as up to date as the ticks of your watch or your clock. Yes, sir. And so he continued 18 months and he didn't teach them anything except the Word of God. Line upon line, truth upon truth, thus saith the Lord God Almighty. That's what he preached, that's what he taught, and that's what we need today. Now, in John 19, we find these words. Many of them also, which use curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before men, and they counted the price 50,000 pieces of silver, and so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Mightily grew the word. Now, if you want the word of God, if you want to clean up your community, and if you want things to be changed, and the word of God to have free course, then preach the word, and the word of God is a lamp, a light. Jeremiah says it's a hammer and a fire. Now, fire burns, a hammer drives and pulls and repairs and so on. And so the word of God is a lamp, a light, a fire, a hammer. The word of God is the meat, the bread, the milk. The word of God is the power of God and will drive out, drive in, and supply, and feed, and lead. Praise God, the word. So they brought their books, 50,000 pieces of silver, and they burned all of their books, and then, praise God, the word grew and prevailed. Now then, I read again in Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the W-O-R-D, word. I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. I commend you to the word of God. Now let me say this, brother. If this program has ever been guilty, now I'm not self-righteous. God in heaven is looking down. God is listening. And God in heaven bears me record. God knows my heart. You don't. I'm not self-righteous. There's nothing good about Oliver Green, but the blood and the grace of God in my heart. That's all. nothing good about me except the grace of God that God imputed when I believed on Jesus. I'm not holier than thou. God forbid, God forbid. All the holiness I know, all the holiness I possess is Jesus in my heart. So don't you misunderstand me. But there's one thing I do declare boldly. This program has never tried to advance any church but the church. The church of the living God. That's all I've tried to advance. This program has never preached any doctrine but the doctrine of the grace of God and the Word of God. I'm not preaching Baptist doctrine. I'm preaching Bible doctrine. I believe pure Baptist doctrine. But now when the Baptists cross the Bible, I cross the Baptists. Yes, sir. When the Methodists cross the Bible, I cross the Methodists. When the Pentecostals cross the Bible, I cross the Pentecostals. But I've never had to argue with the Scriptures because the Word of God is true. And the Word of God does not contradict itself. All the prophets agree. This gospel hour is the gospel hour. This is the Word of God hour. I mean by that, we don't preach anything except the Word of God, line upon line, verse upon. When we study a book, we don't skip around. I mean when we study one on the radio, we study it verse by verse by verse, word by word. Yes, sir, we do. God bearing me record. Now listen, the Word of God brought 5,000 to Jesus, Acts 4:4. The Word of God caused a great revival in Samaria, Acts 8:14. The Word of God brought the Ethiopian to Jesus, Acts 8:35. The Word of God brought the Philippian jailer to salvation, Acts 16:32. The Word of God is the message of every minister, Acts 18:11. The Word of God will cause evil to disappear from your community and from the people. They burned $50,000 worth of books in Acts 19:19 and 20. The Word of God will build you up, Acts 20:32. Now let me ask you something. Have you received the engrafted Word that is able to save your soul? Have you received the Word of God? If you haven't, receive the Word right now. The Word is the power of God unto salvation, Romans 1:16. The Word is the incorruptible seed, 1 Peter 1:23. The Word brings faith, Romans 10:17. Father, help somebody to hear the Word right now. Believe the Word, receive the Word, and be born again this very moment. We ask it in Jesus' precious name, and for Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.
Friends, this is David Green once again. Thank you for tuning in today. I hope you will tune in again each and every time that you can. Well, each week we like to show our appreciation to you for your prayers and support by offering certain of our Christian materials here to you in what we call gift offers. Now, this week we have our gift offer I, a brand new offer for you, and it's with thoughts of Easter in mind. You know, Easter is just around the corner. And so with that in mind, we have put together three items for you in Gift Offer I. And it's available to you in return for your donation to the Gospel Hour in the amount of $20 or more. Now please send more if you can. If you can send $25, $30, $50, whatever the Lord lays on your heart, I urge you to do so. But if you can send a donation of at least $20 and ask for Gift Offer I or the Easter offer, I'm going to send you three great books. One is Glimpses of Heaven. Now, this is a perfect bound book, 164 pages long, containing five sermons by my father all about heaven. And it truly does give you a glimpses into heaven as he writes this sermon to you right from the Bible with Bible scriptures all through. Of course, if you know my dad's writing, you know it's full of scripture. Then we have Heavenly Pearls of Truth from God's Word. Now, this book was written by my mother, and it's actually a collection of articles that we have put together here at the Gospel Hour, originally written in the Gospel Hour News by my mother. And these are 12 of what we feel like are the best ones. A perfect bound book, 141 pages long. Finally, we have a book written by a great man of God who lived many, many years ago, Dr. A.C. Dixon. My dad really enjoyed reading after this man. This book is called Heaven on Earth. 119 pages long, a hardback book with 13 great chapters. I know you will be blessed as you read this book. So to get all three of these books, all you need to do is ask for Gift Offer I and send your gift of at least $20. Here's how to make your donation.
Friends, to order this week's gift offer or to contribute to this ministry, write to us at the Gospel Hour, Post Office Box 2024, that's 2024, Greenville, South Carolina, 29602. Or call us toll-free Monday through Friday between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at 1-800-745-0324. That's 1-800-745-0324. You may use your Visa, Discover, or MasterCard anytime you write or when you call. You can also place your order online 24 hours a day by visiting our website at www.thegospelhour.org. Here also you may order other materials available through this ministry. To receive an audio CD of today's message, be sure to give us today's date and enclose a gift of at least $5 to cover the cost of production and handling.
Friends, this is David Green again. On behalf of myself and the entire Gospel Hour family, I want to thank you for tuning in to the program today. I hope you received a blessing today and will tune in again each and every time you can. And so, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His will.